Hi, everybody. Pastor Jeff here at Bethel Church Talked On. It is Sunday, February 14th, and sadly, we didn't meet today. We canceled service because of the road conditions and the weather. As you all know, it's very cold and snowy out this morning, and so I wanted to still bring to you something that I feel like God has laid on my heart, and He's been teaching me as well. I have a short message for you, and then a challenge. I know you love challenges, right? But I have a short message and then a challenge. So I want you to gather your family around, your kids, and your moms and your dads, and get everybody together, get a Bible together, maybe take some notes. And I'm going to go through this short message, and I want to start with prayer, okay? God, we thank you for this day, even though it is cold and maybe even dangerous outside. This still is a day that you have made, and we'll rejoice and be glad in it. And we also ask that you would help us to grow from your word and from your spirit, from your inspiration, God, and from your anointing. We love you very much. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your family and paying the price to adopt us as sons and daughters of the Most High God. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. Okay, this is called Spiritual Potential. And I want to start with a story, a personal story. Jill and I, my wife, we are in the process of hunting for a home, a new house to live in, and some land. So we have this app on our phone. And on this app, as we're looking at all the homes for sale and the land for sale, we can put in filters, all kinds of filters. How many rooms, what size of house, what's the minimum square footage, maximum, what size of lot and land, all kinds of stuff. We can put all kinds of filters on there. And of course, we pray about where we're going to live. Where does God want us to be in the land and the house? And one time God stopped me and said, so you're praying for my will because you know that His will is better than my preferences, right? I realize that. And so I'm praying for His will. And He says, well, how can I do my will if you've got all your filters on the app that you're using to look for houses? And I took off the filters, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I forgot that I had filters on there. There's all kinds of houses for sale. What if one of those houses is where God wants to send me to live for the next several years? And I didn't realize because I had filters on. Now, I will say this. In house hunting, it's not wrong to have filters on. It's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is God taught me a valuable lesson then. Because He says, or I had to ask myself this question, do I have filters in my own life, my own willingness to be obedient to God? Do I have filters? Do I say, God, use me in whatever way that you want to use me as long as it falls under certain parameters, as long as you can get through these filters, right? I had to ask that question of myself. And because the closer that I get to God, maybe I find out that I do have some filters I didn't even know about. So I've got these filters on. For instance, God used me for anything that you want, but in actuality, I'm probably too old to, you know, to make it to Africa several times a year. Age becomes a filter. And then God use me any way you want, your will and your will alone. But you know, it's just not my personality to go and talk to strangers. It's not something it's not me. I've just put a filter on because of my character, or my personality becomes my filter. Maybe we pray, God, your will be done in my life as it is in heaven, just like Jesus did. What a great prayer, right? Your will, God, in my life as it is in heaven. But really, I kind of have a limited time. I'm super busy. I've got a lot of responsibilities. Time becomes my filter. God, my parameter is you have to work within this time frame because I've got a lot going on. Have we placed filters in our willingness to obey God that limits our spiritual potential? Sometimes without even realizing it. So I want to take you to a story. in 1 Samuel 17 about David. Before he was a king, he was a shepherd. He was watching the sheep, his dad's flock. And so one day his dad says, I want you to take some food. I want you to take it to your brothers. His brothers were in the military. They were in the front lines of this war going on with the Philistine army. So he goes up there and there's this big guy, Goliath. We all know the story. Goliath is taunting the Israelite army for 40 days. And David goes in there and says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's talking bad about the armies of the living God? In verse 26, my version. Now, here we are. We're about to get to my point here. His oldest brother, here's the point. His oldest brother, Eliab, kind of gets frustrated with the situation. He comes back and says, listen, why are you, let me read it. 1 Samuel 17:28. Why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? Not only did he say, you're just a shepherd, but he said, you're not even a great shepherd. You've not been given responsibility for a big flock. You've just got a few, you know? So then David goes to King Saul, and he actually tells him, says, don't worry, I'm going to go down there and fight with this Philistine. King Saul says this to him in verse 33. You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth. You see, his brother David brought up his past, his character, his history, and brought that up against David and what God wanted to do through him. King Saul brought up his present, his age, and the lack of experience against David. Both of them had these filters on, and they weren't able to see what God could possibly do, even through a shepherd boy in a slingshot, because they had these filters on. It didn't make any sense. As a matter of fact, I picture that probably at some point, King Saul probably said, God, he prayed to God and said, God, please help us win this war against the Philistines. Save us from the Philistines and however you want to do it. But yet deep down inside, he's probably, you know, obviously, don't use a young shepherd boy in a slingshot. What makes sense is if you use like one of my big warrior guys that's been fighting all their life. You know, they're great at this stuff. They have armor and shields and all this. You see, he wasn't able to be flexible because he had already put filters on what God wanted to do in their lives. So he didn't see it. Age can be a filter. Either you're too young. Some people think they're too old. Either or. Sometimes our gender can be a filter. Education. God, you know you have people that's smarter than me, then they it only makes sense to let them go and do that stuff. That's a smart man's mission right there. Sometimes experience or lack of experience, sometimes past. I hear this a lot. Well, now I've done some terrible things. I'm sure that God doesn't want to use me with that. There's probably guys with a cleaner past, a cleaner record that God could use for missions like that. I'm sure that happens a lot. I've heard that a lot. Our past can be a filter. Gideon had some filters. Let's read about this in Judges 6:12. An angel, see Gideon, there was a battle going on, and Gideon was kind of hiding out some thinking. He was sifting some wheat, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in Judges 6:12. He says this, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. And I picture Gideon. And he replies this way in Judges 6:15. O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house. See, he could not realize his spiritual potential because he had filters already applied to his life. Filters of age and a filter of cultural placement. And yet, we see that God, when moving through Gideon, in my opinion, caused Gideon to be one of the greatest warriors in the Bible. There are some fantastic battle stories involving Gideon in the Bible, and he was just an amazing guy. And then here's another example, Moses. we know that Moses became a great leader, one of the greatest leaders in history, and spent a lot of time practically face to face with God on the mountain and everything. But here's when God first called Moses in Exodus 4:10. Here's what he said: "Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." And can you imagine that? He could not see what God could do through him because he placed filters on his physical abilities. Now, how do we fight against these hidden filters? How do we maximize our spiritual potential and not allow filters to hinder what God wants to do in our lives? Now, David, I want to go back to David because he was obviously successful at this. As a matter of fact, I think David had absolutely no filters whatsoever on what God could do. It was like anything. I mean, if you're going to defeat an entire army with a slingshot, that's like, whatever you want to do, God, I'm all in. So, and that's what he does. We don't realize this. Sometimes we just give credit to David because he killed the giant, but he actually defeated the entire Philistine army. We read in verse 51, "When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled." That's a defeated army with a slingshot. Okay, so we know that David earlier was anointed, and Samuel 16:13 says, "Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David, and from that day forward." Psalms 1:2, David wrote these words, and we can find this kind of sentiment a lot in David's Psalms. But he says, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and is in his law he meditates day and night." See, I'm getting to the point that it looks like David spent some quality time with God. Thus, he didn't have filters on what God could do through him. Okay, here's what Paul says about David in the New Testament. Paul is in Acts 13:22. Paul is giving a little short history lesson to some of the church leaders, and he says this: "After he had removed him," that's after God had removed King Saul, "he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will.'" Now, after my own heart, after my heart, after in heart comes from Greek words kata and cardia, meaning according to or pertaining to the thoughts, feelings of the mind of God. After my heart. And then he ends with this: "who will do all my will." And I love that. It's like there's an emphasis on this. There is nothing that God's not going to be able to do through a guy like David, because he's after God's heart. His attention, his focus is pertaining to the very things that's on the mind of God. "Who will do all my will." Because of this unlimited spiritual potential, look at the crazy and illogical stuff that God could do through a little shepherd boy with a slingshot. What seems to be impossible, illogical, and against all laws of nature and physics, Jehovah God performs at ease. And see, I believe he wants to do that through you and through me if we will just allow God to work through our lives without any parameters, remove all the filters, whatever it is that you want me to do, God, whether it be spending more time, whether it be talking to people that might be strangers, and maybe that's not really my characteristics. I'm just going to spend time with you, God, and allow you to help me remove those filters in my life because I want to reach my maximum spiritual potential. Our best example of just simply the importance of spending time with God comes from the best example in the Bible, and that's Jesus. Many times in the New Testament, we read that he snuck off to pray. Sometimes they'd have to find him. He would climb up a mountain. He would go off into the wilderness For example, Luke 5:16 says this, "But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness to pray." It's a key component to maximizing our spiritual potential. Here's another one I'll read to you. This example, Mary and Martha in Luke 10, starting with verse 38. "Now, as they were traveling along, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me.'" Verse 41, "But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things.'" Sometimes I feel like God wants to shake us and say, "Church, church, you are worried and bothered about so many things." But look at verse 42 that says, "But only one thing is necessary." "And Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." What was Mary doing that was so impressive to Jesus? In verse 38, she was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. Told you. We are only going to realize and accomplish our spiritual potential if we make our relationship with God a priority in our daily lives, not once a week, twice a week, but in our daily lives. I truly believe that. Here's why I believe that, and that's John 15:4. Jesus says this, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me." We're not going to reach our spiritual potential unless we are plugged in daily, abiding in God. The example is like the branch of a vine attached to the vine. Now next week, here's the deal. Next week I'm going to talk a little bit more about spiritual potential, what that looks like, and what does that mean, why care about my spiritual potential, how does that relate to my daily life. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week. But here's my challenge for you today. I want you to hang on. I want you to do this challenge. Listen, we have enough time today. We're all snowed in anyway, so let's do this. 30 minutes. 30 minutes is my challenge. I want you to do this. Get by yourself. If you have children, tell them that you have a very important meeting with a very important deity. And you'll give them a snow ice cream if they will leave you alone for 30 minutes. Just take 30 minutes. If you have a baby, take your baby with you and introduce him to your Father God. But take 30 minutes and get by yourself alone. Take a pad of paper and a pen. Leave your phone in another room. No music, no TV, no phone. And just get by yourself and spend time with God. Find out who God is. Get to know him. Talk to him. Tell him about your life. Tell him about what you care about, what you don't care about, what's going on. Sit and listen. Try to quiet your mind and not worry about the stuff that's going on in this world. You are bothered by many things. Only one thing's important. That's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Right? He says in John 4:8, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Take that challenge with me, and I hope that this births a new step towards growth in our relationship, because I pray this for us this year, that my relationship with God grows and I influence other people to do the same. All right? Take with you the ability to impact lives everywhere you go. You'll be able to do that better if you just stop and prioritize quality time with God. He loves you and just wants to hang out with you. That's how it's been designed. Isn't that great? Okay. Have a great week. Be very safe, and I hope to see you very soon.